Thank you for tuning in for the next 30 minutes to Victory Gospel Lighthouse Church. We are located at 907 Howard Street in Jennings, Louisiana. We would like to invite you to be our guest Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for our regular service and Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study. For more information, please contact us at P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. Now stay tuned for an exciting and anointed message from Pastor Austin Spell.
I'm going to read from Romans chapter 8, verse number 28, which is a familiar scripture to a lot of Christians because they use about half of it. Oh, I'm taller than that. That's okay. Thank you. It's good to be seen. This scripture is used by so many Christians today. It has been for years. Very familiar scripture. And if you've been a Christian very long, you've probably repeated it several times because it's so encouraging. And sometimes we just miss the truth of it by being encouraged with half of it. Listen to what the scripture says. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I don't know how many times I've heard people repeat the first part of that verse. All things work together to the good. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that nice? Nothing attached to it, no. No ifs, no ands, no buts. All things work together for them that love the God. Boy, if that were true, then all things would work together for everybody who says they know God. But they leave out the last part, who are called according to His purpose. That's what I want to talk for a few minutes about this morning. As we go through this message, I want to be sure that we see just what God wants us to see and not what we want to see. That's the important thing about reading God's Word and studying it and learning it, is to see what God wants us to get out of His Word. He already knows what we want to see, whether you like it or not. Got an all-seeing eye. You heard of that? Yeah. But He wants us to see His purpose in our life. And so we have to find out what His purpose is. We want to see what God wants us to see. And if you look closely, there are two conditions that we must meet before all things can work together for us. Number one, He said it is to them that love the Lord. So many people use the Lord and use God in words and phrases only. There's no love attached to what they're saying. Religion is full of the word God. False religions, good religions, bad religions, even satanic religions use the word God. But Satan is their God. So we have to make sure that we understand that when we are talking about God's purpose, we know whose purpose we're talking about. To them that love God. And really, that's the first commandment that Jesus gave in the New Testament. When one of the scribes, who was a lawyer, came up and tried to trick Jesus with some trick questions. You'll see that all through the scripture where they thought they were as smart as he was, or smarter. And they came to him and said, which one of the commandments is the greatest? Well, they were talking about Moses' Ten Commandments. And they figured if he chose one of them, they'd have him tricked. They could say, oh, well, then I guess the rest of them don't count. But he didn't do that. The first thing he told him, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. First condition. That's this is the foundation In fact, knowing how much you love God with all that you have is the foundation of the past and the present law. You could not serve God if you didn't love God with your heart, not your head. Confessions are so easily made that have no substance to them. We want to make sure there's some substance to the love that we have for God. And the second condition, it is to them who are called according. It's an important word. Those who are called according to His purpose. That means His purpose. That's not a profession. That's not a preaching profession. It's not a witness profession. It's not a profession at all. It's a calling. And I think that's mostly what's wrong with our churches today and the great religions that we have, because now you have to have a master's degree to pastor a church. Huh? You see? And then you become a professional at what you do. Some of these guys are very professional about getting people's money. And they're good at it and they get rich at it. But that's not a calling. And it's not according to God's purpose for their life. They're enjoying it here. But you know what the Bible says about that, huh? This is their reward. You don't want this to be your reward. Look at what you got to go through. If that's your reward, I feel sorry for you. I don't want to be rewarded this way. There's a greater reward coming to us. To them who are called according to His purpose, and that means His purpose. So we must always know if it is not His purpose, it will not work for us. I don't care what they say. It's what God says that counts. If it's not His purpose, we're going to be blessed in this world. People sometimes disagree with me when I say Satan blesses his people. Yeah. They go through life living like the devil and doing what they want, and they're blessed, blessed, blessed. Huh? And people wonder why. Well, you see, they're serving the master of this world. That's why. We serve the master of the universe. We serve the master over all of it. Huh? And our rewards are not yet here. I'm reminded of a story of a missionary who was overseas, and he served for years and years in a foreign land. And he finally got to come back home, and he was on a ship with one of these singers, and everybody knew the singer, and they praised him and worshiped him. And when the ship docked, they had a big band waiting there to receive this singer and this entertainer. And everybody just played their music and did everything. And when the missionaries started coming down the boardwalk, he stopped and he said, "You know, Lord, I spent all my time over there working for You. And this guy comes home doing nothing. Gets home and look what's waiting for him." And then he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, "Son, you're not home yet." Amen. Thank you, Lord. We're not home yet. That's it. Don't look for the acclimates of this world. They're not going to do you any good. Purpose means the reason for which something is done or created. Who creates? What has man created? Not one thing. They've invented things that God has already created. When Benjamin Franklin flew his kite up there, guess where the lightning came from? It wasn't him. He didn't make the lightning. No. God's given people intelligence and knowledge. And by the way, He said knowledge would increase in these last days. When have we ever seen more knowledge in the world than we do today? And knowledge without wisdom is one of the greatest destructive forces in this world. No wisdom to use the knowledge they have. And that's bad. We're in a bad time. With this definition, we must have a reason for our existence. I wonder how many people stop and think about, and I know some people ask that question, maybe to themselves, maybe a lot of others, why am I here? What am I doing here? What you're actually asking yourself is, what is my purpose? It's not just that you're here. You're here for a purpose. And we have to reach God and seek God to find our purpose for being here. And many people, well, most of the world, their purpose for being here is to be here and get rich and get all the money, get all you can, do all you can. That's their purpose in life. But what is a Christian's purpose? And you may agree with me that God has a plan. He does, an overall plan for mankind. And he'll use that plan in your life also. But he can't use his plan for you if you have not accepted his purpose. His plan says this. Oh, we know that all things work together for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. His plan is for us to find his purpose in our lives. Then it becomes something meaningful to us. Then we become something that is important to God. Not important to this world. It becomes important to God that we're operating within his purpose and his plan and his meanings. Huh? Purpose. Serve the Lord. I love the song that Vestal Goodman used to sing. I was born to serve the Lord. That's a song with a purpose. What's the purpose of serving God? When you find that purpose in life, you found the peace and the joy that he promises us. When you find his purpose in your life, then you find what the scripture says here. All things work together for the good. All things. Amen. Cancer? Yes. Uh-oh. What do you mean, huh? I've been healed many, many times. And I need a healing today. But if I don't get it, it's God's purpose. There's a reason why you are where you are if you're in Christ. Now, people can do a lot of things to hurt themselves, cause themselves to be what they are, either now or later. But when you are a Christian and you don't do these things to hurt yourself and you get this way, then what is the purpose? You can affect other people's life more than you ever thought you could. In a sickly condition, even a dying condition, you can become a greater witness for God than you've ever been before. I've seen it. Maybe you've seen it. People that never went to church before, and something happens to them, and the first thing you know, they come to church and get saved. Amen. Huh? Why did they get to church? They were afraid to die. Most people are afraid to die. There's nothing wrong with that. Unless you know Jesus Christ, then you don't have to worry about the unknown. And the fear of death is not there. But to the world, it is. And they find a purpose by going and finding the Lord Jesus Christ. Then they witness to people. And people see their lives have changed. And many times that will change other lives. Some for the good. Some never change. That's a decision. I know I've witnessed it all through the years. We have funerals for some kin folks, and their husband or daughter, whatever, dies, and the family's all in church the next day. And part of them are there the next week. And then two or three are there the week after. Then the first thing you know, you don't see them anymore. See, they never realized there was a purpose in that person's life. Maybe they talked to them. Maybe they told them something. We don't know. But God had a purpose in it. And we can forget about our purpose here unless we're first fulfilling God's purpose. Our purpose here doesn't amount to anything. This old body came from the dust. It's going back to the dust. If your purpose is to do something and try to keep this body and live forever or whatever your mind may be thinking, then it's not going to work, never. But when you're in God's purpose, His purpose is for us to live here and serve Him, honor Him, and then reach our final destiny in glory with Him. That was His purpose for creating mankind. You can go back to the book, all the way back, and you see God's purpose. His reasoning for doing what He did for mankind. He gives it to us as plain as day. It was a mystery to some in the Old Testament. All the old prophets and all the people that we read about and study about, they said things and wrote things that they knew nothing about because it was future. Only thing they knew was the Holy Spirit told them to pen these words, and they did. And they used sometimes categories and phrases that related to something that they might have God might have showed them. Moses, Abraham was one who his wife asked him why he was walking around praying, looking stupid. And he said, I "Leave me alone. I'm seeking a city whose maker, is God." What's he talking about? The New Jerusalem. He didn't know it. He didn't know what he was doing. But he knew there was a purpose for God telling him what he had to write. God's purpose. All the way to the beginning, God had a purpose. In our service, our lives are painted with a broad brush of the things we must do in order to find His purpose for our being here today, right now. First, we must love God. We must follow Jesus, as He said. Then we must fulfill His purpose and His will at the same time. His purpose and His will. If this is not the purpose for us being here today, then we are, as the scripture says, of all men and women most miserable. Because it's a constant battle in this world to try to find your place. People do it every day. They'll even lie, cheat, kill, whatever they have to do to find their place. They want to be wealthy, they want to have riches, they want to have fame. Or they just want to steal your food. Shoot you for $20. That's all the purpose they have in this world. And so what chance do they have? None. All because they have not found a way to seek God's purpose for their lives and have all the good things work for them. And we see Him working that way every day. You cannot find your purpose and fulfill God's purpose and plan for your life if you're not saved. I'm talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You'll never find your purpose in life, and you'll never fulfill the plan that God has for you or allow Him to fulfill that plan if, first of all, you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because that's where it all comes from. We sung about the cross. Kneel at the cross. At the cross. An old rugged cross. We sang. That's where it began. From Genesis to the cross. From the cross to the end. The cross becomes the center of it. Why? Because that was God's purpose for mankind. You see, God's first purpose for mankind, it was in the beginning. We see that from the very beginning, that God had a purpose in the beginning, creating man and woman in perfection. Adam and Eve were perfect. Why would God create them perfect and then not want them to have a purpose of living that way? He created a beautiful garden for the perfect people to live in. He gave man dominion over all things. God's purpose was that man would have dominion over the world, over the animals, over everything. Adam had dominion over everything. He named all of the animals. He named the plants, named the trees. How could he do that? Because he was perfect. He had the mind of God. Created in the image and the likeness of God. What is God? Perfect. So man was created that way. And I believe his purpose was for Adam and Eve to produce a perfect race of people. Why else would he create a man and a woman in perfection if he didn't want them to reproduce perfect people? Ponder that for a couple of days. A perfect race of people to live in this world just like they were in the Garden of Eden. Because the one he's got prepared for us now is greater than the Garden of Eden. And the Garden of Eden was perfect. But there's so much more perfection waiting for us that we can't even imagine it. His purpose and his will was not, will not, and was not, and has never changed. Still have the same purpose for mankind. Why can we say that? Because he tells us of a perfect place for us to go. So in his plan, his plan is the same. God's plan hasn't changed from the very beginning. Just look what man had to go through because of the disobedience to get there. God prepared a new place for us. For those who would live in his perfection, not ours. We don't have any. But man, in violating God's will and his purpose, he put mankind in a position to make a choice. Now, if mankind wants to find God's purpose for him, he must make a choice. From the very beginning to now, man has made a choice, whether he does it by confession or by action. He makes the choice. We make them every day. A lot of them are not really important. They pertain to the ways of life. They're important to that point. But they're not important when you put them alongside of the choice you have to make for God. They don't amount to anything. Adam and Eve made a choice. Cain and Abel made a choice. You can go down the list. Noah, Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Elijah. Elijah stood before his congregation and he made a choice. He said, choose you this day, who are you going to serve? If Baal is God, then worship Baal. If God is God, worship him. But make the choice. You know what that tells us? We can't live in that middle ground. You've got to make a choice. And we all do it. You'll do it. Confessing it with your mouth and your heart, or you'll do it by the way you live in your life. And you can live a lifestyle where you don't even realize you're making a choice. But you have. Every person that hears the name of Jesus for salvation and refuses that salvation has made a choice. The wrong one. But they've made a choice. And I've heard people say, well, I'm not decided one way or the other. Oh, yes, you are. Because there's only two ways. There's a straight and narrow place, the street that leads to heaven. Heaven's highway. The brother used to sing about that. There's a highway to heaven. Jack, what's his name? Can't forget it. What's his name, Mom? You don't remember either. But he used to sing, highway to heaven. None can go up there except the pure and the fair. One straight highway to heaven. One way. No curves. No places to get on and off. Once you're on, you have to go. If you get off, you can't get back on. It's anywhere. You got to go back to the beginning. Back to the cross. Make a choice. All the old patriarchs of old made a choice. But the most important one of all was made by the Father and the Son. There's a song that said God looked all over heaven, couldn't find anyone to do what his Son had to do. And he so loved the world that he made a choice. He sent his only begotten Son. That was God's choice for us. And then Jesus made the choice. Hung on the cross. He said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup, let it pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He made a choice for you and for me. He wants us to make that choice. He made a choice to come, and he did. And you know what? He's coming back. God's going to make another choice. He's going to choose a day that only he knows. He's going to choose a day and say, Son, go get him. Go bring my family home. Yeah. Bring my family home. A choice that he's already made for us. Only he knows the day. And now in these New Testament times, under the new covenant of grace, many Christians use scriptures like Romans 8:28 in a very frivolous way. It just sounds good. All things work together for them that love the Lord. Bye. Leaving out his purpose and claiming the rest of the verse. But in order to claim all the good things that God has for us, we must meet his conditions. And we cannot meet his conditions if we do not know his conditions. How are you going to do something that you don't know how to do? I remember back in the day when I had a construction company, we'd hire men. We'd hire young men and older men or whoever could work for us. And you try to explain to them how to do something sometimes. And I really found out how many people in this world are as dumb as a post. On simple little things. I mean, you know, some guys, you couldn't teach them to use a hammer. Ain't that sad? They'd beat a board to death trying to drive a nail. And you try to teach them even how to hold a handle. They want to hold it way up here and go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Come on, man. Conditions. You got to be able to understand what you have to do in order to accomplish it.
Pastor Spell and the congregation of Victory Gospel Lighthouse wish to thank you for tuning into our broadcast and want you to join us at the same time next Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for more of God's Word here on HLE Radio. If you would like to partner with us by spreading the gospel, you can send your support to P.O. Box 387, Jennings, Louisiana 70546. If you would like to listen to more sermons, you can do so by going to hleradio.com and clicking on Online Sermons, Victory Gospel Lighthouse. We hope you will join us next week. God bless you and God bless America.
No, I'm not perfect, and I'll never be. Your sweet forgiveness, Lord, can rescue me.
here comes His grace again. There goes my fear. Here comes my Lord and friend to dry my tears.
HLERadio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.